Blog Talk Radio.
God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We'd like to welcome you to the Crossroad broadcast. Want you to know today that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we certainly will rejoice and be glad in it. We are professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. Today on the Crossroad broadcast, we're going to be continue our discussion on premarital counseling. And I can assure you that there are many couples that are now married that they wish that at the beginning that they would have had premarital counseling. We're going to have with us today that sits on this panel, Dr. June Normill, who on last week began to talk to us about the reason for premarital guidance. We're going to start off with, I'm going to come in with the initially discussion on premarital counseling, and then I'm going to take the first 20 minutes, and then Dr. June Normill will do it so as well with her 20 minutes. Today, we want to just, the Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll direct our path. So just in case you are not using, allowing God to direct your path, we just want to submit that today to give you some food for thought, to let you know that he is always the one that you can trust, have confidence in, lead God, and to direct you. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord, bless the listeners on this broadcast. Father, cause them to hear, cause them to be healed. God, things that they may be going through in their life, struggles, things that some that are already married, and they're going through some difficult situations in their lives. And God, there are some, God, that are about to be married. And God, things that they aren't aware of, things that they don't know. God, we want you, Lord God, to give them that insight and that clarity today. And Father, we just thank you as we embrace this topic today. We thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, this is the Crossroads Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And as I said before, we have Dr. June Northill that's going to be joining us later in this broadcast. Last week, we talked about two young people that was ready to get married. And we made these people Rich and Andrea. And they thought that this will be the perfect time. This will be a good time for them to get married. They both were in their early 20s. As we said on last week, they had met in the cafeteria at the State University, and where Rich was finishing his degree in biology, and Andre was a sophomore still searching for a major. It was, as they told the Christian counselor, that it was love at first sight. So therefore, sometimes people go to secular counselors, some go to Christian counselors, some go to their pastors, they go to their friends for counseling, for advice. So, but we want you to choose the best alternative so that you will, no one will be biased, no one will not be making decisions on your life that can cause you to regret your marriage. So here we are today. They saying that it was love at first sight. And they had met 3 months, been in a relationship 3 months, and they had characterized, and they characterized their relationship as being one that was infatuated with one another, you know, that starry eye type thing was there. As we talked about last week, you know, sometimes you can think that you're in love with somebody and all you can see is that love, that you think that you experience with them, and that the love that you think that you have for them, other love that you have actually for that individual. So here we see that, yes, they were infatuated with one another. They hadn't really gone all the way. I'm talking about physical involvement. I'm talking about that sexual type experience. I'm talking about that sex before marriage. Sometimes, you know, in our broadcast, during the weeks and the months to come, we want to talk about that as well. But we see that they hadn't gone all the way yet, but Rich has stated that that they were coming close to it because they had that physical attraction for one another. And sometimes it's for the individuals that it's I can't wait situation. You know, I want this sexual experience. I'm in love with this person. So therefore, because I love him, because I love her, I want that sexual type experience, which is not actually a good thing to have. But at the same time, it does happen. So we have to be real, and we have to talk about what's happening this day and this time. I know as a Christian counselor, as a licensed Christian counselor, as a minister of the gospel, then I would recommend to as a counselor for the counselee not to engage in a sexual experience. Some people say, well, try it out, and then you'll know whether or not this is for you. But as a Christian counselor, and I do know the Word of God tells us about it is better to marry than to burn. Okay, they're doing the right thing. They're getting married. But then, you know, you got the temptation coming in, and they're close to, you know, to that encounter of having some kind of sexual experience with one another. Andrea has came from a Jewish family. Her parents had never been very religious, but she knew that they would object if she chose to marry a Gentile. Rich thought that he his fundamental parents might be less resistant, especially since Andrea was attending church now and she's attending church regular, and she had become a Christian. Andrea, however, knew none about Christian faith, and it's really kind of dangerous. And I'm kind of going through some things that we talked about on last week because I want you to kind of get it, not to kind of get to really get the scene, because of the fact that, as we said, she decided to become a Christian, but she really didn't know too much about it, okay? She loved it rich, and she, and sometimes people do that because of, you know, they said, well, this is going to be my husband, this is going to be my wife, and I don't agree in their faith, I don't agree what they're doing, but yet I'm going to do it because of the fact that we're going to be one. Well, you can't really, you can't really be one in a spiritual aspect of it unless, according to the word of God, so the word of God says, how can two walk together except in agreement? And I just believe that is with everything. You got to be, I know sometimes we don't agree when I'm talking about certain things that we don't agree with, a person may not agree, but I'm talking about with the word of God. I believe that there should be agreement with the both of the partners because it can be a mistake. It can come to cause a divorce and separation when you don't, and everybody not agreeable. But these are things that are very, very important when you're about to say, I do, when you're getting ready to be serious about a relationship. When we look at Rich, and Rich was almost raised in the church. Andrea knew little about Christian faith, and Rich was almost raised up in the church. There were differences in Rich and Andrea past. One set of parents was well-educated, and we talked about this last week, and both mother and father were successful professionals. And when you got a partner that may not been as educated as the other, the parents, you know, sometimes parents, just, as we said, they kind of get in, they can cause confusion in a marriage. They can cause things when they have strong feelings and ideal about certain things. And, you know, I don't want my daughter to marry a man that haven't finished college or don't have any kind of educational work experience, that has a good job and at least making $80,000 or $100,000 a year to take care of my daughter. And also, they not known in the community. Well, you know what? That gives us a lot to think about that, because these things are not always true. These things doesn't have to be in order to make a marriage. I think it's totally unfair for, you know, for a person to have a kind of mentality to think about, you know, somebody, the value of somebody. And some aspects of life, some things about certain people you need to know, definitely you need to know. And I'm for that. I'm for knowing who you marry. I'm for certain things that I think very strongly about. I can't get into it today, but yes, there are some things that I think that should be dealt with. But things for as how much money the person has, they may not be making the money today, and they may certainly not be making it that year, but there is potential that that person can really excel and that they could be a great husband or vice versa. Okay, when we look at the other parents, they were high school graduates. They did finish high school, and they live on modest means, but both of them had to work in order to make their lives to be what it was. So when we start looking at these two couples that was the couple that was getting ready to be married, it just let you know, you know, I don't know if you are someone that about to be married and you need to think about a whole lot of things and person that have acknowledged God, and that you should be out of mind that you know that this is the person that I want to marry. This is the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. When we look at Rich and Andrea, their approach with marriage, with dreams about how bliss is going to be. And that's the way that, you know, most of the couple, the bride and the groom, they think about, you know, they think about themselves and the moment and how it's going to be. Sometimes they don't think about, they do not think about the deal. They don't think about how their mortgage. They don't think about where they're going to, how they're going to get their food. And they haven't really gone through a whole lot of things that they need to go through. And so because of that, we find that that can bring a problem in their marriage. So they would already can think about at the time, but this marital kind of bliss and what's they because of the fact they really have not experienced marriage. They didn't have they really didn't have even money in the bank, you know, for the marriage. They didn't really really know each other. I mean, I don't agree with two people getting married and they have just known each other for 3 months, you know, you really don't know that person. You don't know whether that person is a predator. You don't know if that person has masked his identity. You don't know if this person is a person that they have masked their personality, so they could be a person that a very angry person, a person that's in have problems of controlling himself or herself. They can be selfish, you know. So therefore, you need to learn and you need to know your partner. You need to know what about them that really want me to spend the rest of my life with them. And not just go into a marriage because of the fact of, you know, the wavy hair, the six feet tall or more, or he's exactly the color or the weight, you know, that you like, or he has money, or whatever. And the same thing, you should not go in marriage with a woman who you think that, you know, she is, she's this small person, or she's this tall person, and she has this and she has that, and then later on, you think that you're thinking in your marriage when things are not so smooth, when you're not so steady-eyed at the other person, when you have begin to spend your life together, there's going to come a time when you're not going to, everything is not going to be so. It may not be so enjoyable to you. So I am saying to you today that these are the things that when we talk about premarital counseling, these are some of the things that we want to bring to the forefront. When Andrea and Rich, when they began to talk about marriage, they were surprised and they was really kind of annoyed. The person that they was talking to about marriage, that they was he or she, they wasn't really enthusiastic about them getting married. Sometimes people, when they come to a counselor, they want the counselor to agree with everything that they have to say. They want the counselor to put their blessing on the relationship, but we are, as counselors, we have a commitment to God and to the profession that we are not, I can say that Mary McCoy is not, we are not going to tell you something, agree with you when something is out of order or something is not right. And I'm not saying that you come, you may come to me as a counselor and just because some things that your partner may be doing, a few things, because the old things, but certainly some things can be, they can be corrected. But sometimes, some things, they can't. I mean, the relationship, when you start off with, when you start off in a relationship and you're finding that your partner, things that he's doing or she's doing that you are really not comfortable with, things that they're showing you that you're saying now because I love them, oh, I can, that'll be okay. Okay, sometimes it doesn't be okay. So you need to really know your partner. You need to know who you're going to be, who you're going to be married. Don't marry him because they look good. Don't marry him because they remind you of your mother. I don't marry people because they remind you of your father. Marry them because of the fact that you've done the homework. You've, number one, you have a knowledge job, but you've done the homework and that you know that I've checked this record. I'm seeing that this man has been in jail 10 years, has been a rapist or a person that have battered his wife in the past and from another state, and you're so in love and infatuated with him because you haven't taken the time. Now, you know, I can spend a lot of time on this, and I feel some time as he's talking because I feel that it's very important. And it seems like that we were where we were on last week. But as a licensed counselor, we cannot, and anyone that loves people and loves God, want marriage to work, then they're not going to just tell you any and everything and that agree with you just because you're paying them and because of the fact that they're just about to get married. You know, it's best not even you need not to, as a counselor, too, sometimes people come, they're already set their wedding date, they've already got the minister, they're already getting ready, they're looking for their dress, and they've got the grooms and the bridegroom and all this, things like that, and they haven't even talked to a counselor. And they want you to counsel them because, you know, by law, here in Florida, you got to have a minimum of 4 hours. You're supposed to have at least four hours of counseling. And they want you to come. They want you to do this. They want you to agree with certain things they're doing. But, you know, as a good counselor, these things, they really should not be overlooked. I'm going to just talk just a little bit more. And then we're going to, my time is going to be up for this session, and we're going to bring Dr. Normill on. I promise you next Monday, I'll get a little further. Some things I just like to emphasize. Sometimes I just like to talk about things so you can get it, so you don't make a drastic mistake. As I said before, that sometimes people get, you know, annoyed with the counselor or with the pastor. And then they'll say, well, we are just below. We'll just go somewhere in a state that we can get married. We don't have to go through any counseling. So let me just kind of walk this just a little bit. One night, Rich had got word that his father had been hurt badly in a car accident. And this young student had hurt home, and eventually he had to drop out of school, out of his university for a quarter or so because he had to take care of his father. So he had to take time away from his studies. In this case, he was absent from his partner. And sometimes when you're absent from seeing one another, it makes the heart grow fonder of the individual because they're not there. But then after a time of the telephone calls, I'm not sure they called each other, they conversated on the phone, and they wrote some letters, and Rich and Andrea both had concluded that their romance had been a passing flame. they was away from each other. Regretfully, that this happened to his father. But because it happened, it gave them a time to assess, do I really love this man? And she had the opportunity as well to say, she wants to know, is she loving this man, and do I really love this woman? So here we see that eventually they both finished their degrees and went their separate ways. But think about what could have happened if they would have gotten married and just over a period of time, they parted their separate ways. So here we are again today. We're going to stop here, and we're going to bring in Dr. June Normill, and we're going to spend the next 20 minutes on the reason for premarital guidance. Dr. Normill started on last week, and she's going to talk with you and give you some insight as to reason for premarital guidance. Dr. June Normill.
About the reason for premarital guidance. And as I talked about it last week, I also gave you some insight telling you about how sometimes people just spend a lot of years and time just getting ready for the wedding and knowing that the wedding is only just for one day, but they're never preparing for a lifetime commitment of the marriage, and that is supposed to be to death do them apart. And that's the reason why some marriages does not last long and does not be happy even the time in the longevity of being married, that the relationship is not happy because they hadn't had preparation for the marriage. And I gave four different nuggets about the reason for premarital guidance. One, I talked about the unrealistic expectation that could lead to disillusionment. Number two was the personal immaturity that can lead to insensitivity. The third one I gave was changing roles that can lead to confusion. And the fourth one I talked about was the alternate styles of marriage that can lead to uncertainty. But today we're going to start off talking about the fifth one is the loosening sexual standards that can lead to immorality. And that's what we're talking about now. The reason why we should, and people should have premarital guidance and premarital counseling. Because talking about the loosened sexual standards that lead to immorality. You know, a lot of times sex before marriage is not new. And we know that either is rare because even among Christians, people are so open and society has made it so embracing that it's okay to have sex before marriage. Even in a lot of times at some churches, and they don't even talk about that. You can have people that could be living together, what we call shacking up and doing things and living a lifestyle that married people do, and it's never talked about in the church. And people can get so comfortable in their sins and get comfortable in their lifestyle that they don't think anything is wrong with it. They call themselves doing like, it's just like testing the water. And just testing the relationship with each other to find out if we really fit to be married. But God has ways that has been designed for his people and for all people to abide by, that we can have healthy and embracing marriages that he can be glorified in, and that our relationship can be happy, and we can be happy in our relationship. And like I say, it's so common and so embracing that people just having sex and we're not even being married. There ain't nothing new about that. But what is new is the increasing approval and the acceptance of premarital sex. Even on television, you see all kind of advertisement. It's okay. Even the programs you look at on TV, you see people playing all kind of roles and certain TV movies that end up being a number one hit, and you think it's okay because that movie don't matter so many millions of dollars for that person living that kind of way or playing that part of a person in a movie. And people idolize people and they live the kind of life that they see them living, even if it's not healthy, but they see that the world has accepted, and they probably see them on the outside prospering for living that kind of way, so they want to mimic that same thing and hoping and thinking and believing that it's going to happen like that to them, and it's only not even true. It's only just a picture. It's just only not true. And even in reality, people are still doing that. And a lot of times we see relationships as people living in a way as married people doing it, not even married. And it seems to be happy on the outside. But the inside, you don't know what's going on. But we're going to be in Christian counselors, even if they are happy on the inside and displaying that on the outside, we won't be giving advice and pre-counseling on premarital, because that what God has ordained for to do, and God wanted done his way. Because anything that may feel good, it may sound good and look good, if it don't line up according to the word of God, or the words what God say, it's not good for you at the end. So you see people that self and approve about premarital sex, and so many people involved in it, and so many people in sex apart from marriage, that, you know, even as an argument used so often, casual way, you know, to justify why people, you know, living together a lot of times. But what the world has said now, how the enemy come in, they're saying that, oh, we have to do this now. We'll just live together. And I'm not talking about people who honestly roommates. I'm talking about people who living together, who talking about getting married, and they live in that way, saying, oh, we have to live this way to get our money together. We don't make out enough money, so we just stay together and do that. That's just another trick of the enemy that cause people to get comfortable and just do things and before they get married, living like that. And then by the time they get married, it don't line up. It don't line up to what God wanted to be in the way the person thought it to be. You know, people try to justify their behavior. And, you know, for what they do, but the scripture, the word of God clearly states what's right. And even some parents, and not all church leaders don't talk, I mean, act like it's not going on. You have some church leaders, they look on it and they talk about it. They even tell you scriptures. They talk about it in service, but no one can make you do anything. Even counsel, we only can give you advice for a Christian counsel based on the word of God, you know, that would help and hope that you would take heed to it. But a lot of times, it just still people just ignore the reason and the ways of accepting premarital counsel, even Christian people. And they want to just say everybody's doing it, you know. But surely, you know, it can't be wrong. Everybody's doing it. It feels so right. And I'm prospering, you know. I don't feel like God punishing me. I don't have been a bad luck. I haven't lost my job. But in the other while, regardless of how you feel, how the outcome come of it, you're still wrong. It violates God's best for our lives. God has already designed a way for marriage to be taking place. But I'm not talking about a wedding. I'm talking about a marriage to take place between a man and a woman and the way it should be done. And a lot of things we need to avoid before you get married. There's a lot of things you need to look into, check out, investigate, explore about one another before you get married. Because a lot of times, if you do, and that's what Christian counseling is all about, you get with a counselor who's able to open up these things, bring a lot of insight to you, things that you probably wouldn't thought of yourself. And that will cause a lot of time, it will cause a lot of people to avoid a marriage that we're going to be like a train wreck. Or either it could cause that person or those couples to delay that time of that marriage until they get other things lined up in the order first, and then possibly, if it's God's will, then later on go ahead on and get married. Because a lot of times people just jump in marriage so quickly because they go in it with the wrong attitude and thinking, you know, if it don't work, I just get out of it. But we can't have that kind of mindset. And another thing, what happened here, at one of the churches in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm not going to call the name, but I thought it was so profound. What this pastor did, he had 15 members of his church, people that was actually living together, shacking up, living together. And he challenged them. He had a course. He had a class. And he was teaching them about premarital classes and courses and things, premarital lifestyle and stuff. And he challenged them to get married because they was already doing things like the married people were doing anyway, based on the word of God. He challenged them to get married. And what he did, and based on other agencies and people in the community, they provided everything for those couples, even down to the ring, even down, then they had, it was a big marriage wedding for 15 couples. All that same day was beautiful. And everything they needed, it was provided for them. The tuxedos, the gowns, the rings they wanted, everything. It was a beautiful thing. And every couple that they interviewed, they were so ecstatic. They were so happy. They was happy that their pastor gave them that counseling, that premarital counseling, before they even got married. He brought so much insight to them. They didn't even know that they was even, like, doing wrong, because it was never brought up to them. But then he thought, when God led them, the man of God, heart to have that class, and the people, they just responded. And like a lot of the couples that were interviewed were saying, well, we was living like we was married anyway. We had nothing to lose. And they say they are so glad. And I'm quite sure God just smiled down at that, about even that pastor, same thing as like Christian counselor, giving, you know, people the right way to do things, the right way to go toward marriage, and even that pre-marital guidance, or that pre-marital counsel, because you hear the word pre, that is giving you something before you get into it. And a lot of times, a lot of marriage, like I said, people can look back and say, if only I would have had, somebody would have told me this before I got married, if only I would have did this before, and I married, my life would have been much better. So always take the advantage, always get opportunity, and it's a law to need premarital counseling. And to go to a Christian counselor, somebody's not going to compromise with you based on what you want to hear, but based on the word of God. Amen? And number six is another reason for premarital guidance, counseling guidance, is previous experience that can lead to overconfidence. Previous experience that can lead to overconfidence. And that's true, because a lot of times when people have previously been married before, sometimes maybe one time, two, three times, a lot of times, even in their marriage not working out, even in their marriage mistakes, they still think, they can be overconfident and think, oh, I know what I did wrong. This time, last time, I'm not going to do wrong. I'm not going to make that same mistake this time. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. I don't been married before. I don't need no counselor telling me what to do. I don't need no pastor. I don't need no spiritual leader telling me what to do. I don't been married. Listen to me. I don't been married five times, so I know what to do. Evidently, you don't been married five times, three times, it ain't working. Evidently, it's something that you know what to do, but it's something that you're doing that you don't know what not to do. So that's why it's always open and be is the self premarital counseling for godly counselors. So a lot of times people get overconfident and think, you know, that, oh, that was my first one, or it was just him, he had the problem, or it was just her, she had the problem, but this person that I have, oh, they're so different, I'm not going to go through that with them. And then they just see that way, like Dr. McCoy was saying, it's just a figment of their imagination. Without pre-counseling, a lot of things you don't know about a person. Basically, you don't know anything about a person unless you're going to get time to get in that relationship, because by you being previous married and don't been divorced one time, two times, three times or more, a lot of times you can't see what a counselor or godly Christian counselor could be able to see that you was doing, because a lot of times you go in making this, people go in making the same mistake over and over. It's just like when a person, you ever been in love with someone, and that person is really not good for you. It's not a healthy relationship, and everybody can see it but you. Everybody can say, this woman is not good for you, dollar, 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 the reason why. This man is not good for you, dollar, 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 the reason why. But you can't even see that. But then after the fact, finally when the scales come off your eyes and you and that individual have separated in your relationship, and you can see so clearly, you can see everything so clearly, and you say, what was wrong with me? How did I do that? I can't believe I was in a relationship with him or either with her. I didn't see that, but I see it now. And that's what happened a lot of times when a person that already had been in a relationship is being married and it didn't work out, and they avoid going to pre-counseling because they figured out, they know the reason why their marriage, their first or previous marriage didn't work, and they could figure it out all by themselves. But a lot of times, the Christian counselor, they can find new adjustments, and, you know, they find out things that you can't even see good. And a lot of times, people will be sensitive, and they'll be appreciative of people that could come help them. Because when you get a Christian counselor, a person that's really, they're concerned about your whole well-being, your whole, the whole man of your life, or both of the person, the people that's engaged to be married, both of y'all situation. A lot of times, when you be over in love or over in lust, you don't see a lot of those things. You don't see a lot of those things. And a lot of times, it'll give you an opportunity to open up about things that you probably wouldn't even be talking about to each other. But being in counseling, you just be real and be able to open up and share. And then when you find out the heart of the other individual, how they feel about that certain situation, it'll give you time to examine yourself in a relationship and say, oh, are we really ready to be married at this time? Or are we really compatible for each other? You know, that's all the good about Christian counseling. They give you the opportunity to see things, but a lot of times people just be overconfident and they just be strong-headed about someone telling them what to do, especially seasoned adults who don't been married before. And a lot of times, even the ones younger, people just come into marriage, they seem to think that they know all the more than the older people, more experienced, because they feel like, oh, they just old-fashioned, they don't know. But, you know, time bring about experience. And when you experience things, you know, it takes time in that relationship. So we have to just be careful about that. And, you know, one thing about the counselor, you know, they are challenged on realistic attitudes. You know, it'll help the couple see the potential problems that even previous marriage people might miss. And guide them to resolve these kind of issues that may have been unresolved, you know, from the previous marriage you have. You know, but nothing could create chaos and confusion in a new marriage like overconfidence in one past marriage experience. So never try to, you know, judge your previous upcoming marriage about what you don't did, your relationship with somebody else, because every individual is different. And every issue, everything that each individual as a whole is bringing into that relationship, all of them have something different and something new. But, everybody's temperament is different. Everybody's background is different. Everybody's mindset is different. To make it plain, everyone is different. So what happened in that relationship, pre-relationship with the other person, is not necessarily you got the answer because you think you got this person down pat. So, you know, being overconfident, that's going to cause chaos in a marriage. So that's why we need that premarital guidance before you get married. For things that just brought up to your attention, you'll know about that. Because a lot of persons, they'll be married 5 times. They think they're the best pro-married person in the world. And not even seeing that they don't know what it takes to be in a real marriage. You don't be married 5 times. Something is definitely wrong. But then some people don't have poor eyesight about it. And they think that means they know it's good. It ain't right this time. I'm going to get it right this time. But it will never be them. It always off the person if you let that person tell you the story. The next one is circumstances that can lead to later misery. You know, when it comes to marriage, some people bring, you know, what one of the counselors said, that they call it a red flag situation that needs special scrutiny. That means to really look into it and evaluation. You know, some of these circumstances mentioned in previous chapter, they all talked about such as a pregnant bride, one or both participants on the rebound from a previous marriage. You know, they just want to jump into a marriage or engagement. Some of them could be serious drug involvement, emotional problems, or, you know, contrasting different, you know, conflicting cultural backgrounds or religious belief. Religious belief does have a lot to do with it. And wide gaps in education or age differences, that even makes a big difference. And knowing each other for a very short time, just like Dr. McCord said previously, sometimes you just met somebody, and because they told Dr. Hansel she's fine as a bottle of wine, you feel that's the person for you. I mean, you don't even know that person. All that could bring chaos. You know, couples, you may not see these as obstacles. All these different things that said about a person, you may not see that as being a problem, an obstacle of a good marriage for some of these differences. But they can. But one thing about all these different things, even if they are in a situation, a person doing it, that they can be over. They can be conquered. Some of it can be conquered. And with God's help, all of it can be conquered. I'm not saying this individual carrying all these different problems. I'm just saying some of the few that name you might know even yourself if you might be walking in some of these, but through God, some of those problems and all of them can be conquered, you know, with the will of God and also in the help of God. And that's our job as counselor, you know, to urge and to, you know, and to go with caution and discuss these kind of issues before couples go ahead and get married. You don't wait until after you know the person is dealing with a different kind of challenge in their life, and you still go ahead on and marry them. I'm not saying the person got to be perfect, but I'm just saying you know what thing is just not right. And just saying when you know things are not right, when you walk into that situation with your eyes open, you can see it and just say, oh, I love going to overtake this, overconquer this. No, you don't do that. You just putting your relationship and y'all lives in jeopardy of having a chaos marriage. You know, you talk about those things, and like I said, with God help and good counseling, they could be conquered, those obstacles that happen to be in your way. But, you know, when you avoid the address and avoid to have counseling, only thing that do is end up in a lot of misery. You know, it comes to a lot of misery that really could have been avoided if when you be honest with yourself, the couples be honest with yourself and bring these things up and you talk about it. And the counselor don't know everything. The counselor only know what you tell them and what God revealed. And what God revealed to the counselor, what's going on with you. That's why it's open. That's why it's always available and open for you to be honest with your counselor, to tell them if you have some kind of hang up or something, or a problem that you know is going to be a problem that's going to interfere with you having a healthy marriage. That's your opportunity to go forth with the counselor, and that way they'll be able to mediate on behalf of each person, each marriage couple, and each individual, to be able to mediate between them, to they'll be able to receive and they'll be able to walk and work that situation out together. And the last one is high divorce rates that can lead to unhappiness. And that is so true. It's so high in these marriage and divorce rate, even in the church community, even this being Christian, is so high. But that ain't designed that God has planned for his people. But it's well known that, you know, many marriages, it's true that they don't survive. Even some Christian marriage, they don't survive. But part of the problem, it may come from the modest theme of the attitude. You know, the attitude, how both persons, how they feel about marriage, that's a reason. Because if you have problems and you both be all willing to work it out, y'all can make it. Y'all can go through that. Y'all can handle those challenges. But if you got one person pulling against the other, both of them not working together, willing to make it happen, it's going to cause nothing but problems. And they're only going to view marriage as a temporary relationship that lasts only until divorce do us part. Not to death do you part, to divorce do you part. You know, I've heard some people have read these two stories, had recently actually got married. And the wedding night, after the wedding was over, they was on their honeymoon. And the couple was arguing about a remote control, who was going to look at a certain program on television. And that person got in a little physical altercation. And from that day, they never did get back together. And that is so sad. That is so sad. And things like that happen, things could be so minor and so minute as that, but be so jeopardized and be so painful that cause a marriage to be destroyed. And people worked all that money and investment until and for the wedding, the cake, the groom, the nice decoration, the food and everything for the wedding, and the marriage didn't even itself last 24 hours. And that is so sad. That's not the way God designed for it to be. And when you go to counseling and be able to talk about, y'all can compromise about, you know, little simple things about how to be able to give a little and give a little, you know, compromising. You know, you fight over a remote control, who's going to look at television on your wedding night and y'all no longer to them through y'all part. No, it's the divorce through y'all part. That's so sad. And that ain't the way God desires for it to be. But, you know, if there's still real commitment and willing to pursue in times of pressure, a marriage could work. A marriage career. But the only thing that you need to do is get premarital counseling. And like Dr. Corey said, it requires 4 hours and stuff. You go to a good Christian counselor who's not going to compromise with you, you will appreciate that person. You appreciate that person not going to just tell you what you want to hear. You appreciate your pastor, your spiritual leader, who's going to tell you the truth based on the word of God. Exactly. That's what they want for you. They want the best what God wants for you. And you have to just go along with the direction that God leads you according to his word and Christians or non-Christians, premarital counseling is always better than just jumping to anything. Because like I said before, if you hear the word pre, that means you have to do it before, you something before something take place. And most premarital counseling, you know, is done not with pathological people, but with reality, helping individuals who can be helped to enhance and enrich a growing relationship. And, you know, the research data shows that this kind of relationship most likely be led to a growing and stable marriage where four characteristics are present. And the one is similarity in social and background influences, such as religion, affiliation, age, education, intelligence, and socioeconomic level. Number two is the personal emotional stability and social skills. That's included an ability to communicate, positive self-concept, and good emotion and physical health. And the third one is good prenatal models. That's including a good relationship with parents. And the fourth is support from significant others. And you're going to always need that. If you get good support for your significant others and stuff, people who matter in your life, people who care about your life, they'll stir you in the right way, in the right direction for you to get premarital counseling, because that's always the best way. And then you'll go far beyond preparing yourself in years and a lot of money invested in for a wedding day, and you'll be able to have a healthy and lifetime happy marriage. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
I would like to thank Dr. June Normill for talking to us on today about the reason for premarital guidance, why it's so important, and the only way that you can experience and to have a good marriage is to get some good counseling, to get a professional counselor. If you don't go to a professional counselor, you need to seek the assistance of your pastor, and you always need to have your pastor, your leader, to let him be involved in what you're doing, especially when you are about to say I do, to get married, and say that this is the man that I want to marry. You know, it is so important because some things that we want to talk about, you know, and sometimes we can see the person and their outward appearance instead of really seeing what's going on the inside, or some things that may be in the future pose a problem. That's why it's so important to see each other, whether their credit is good. If you want to marry a person and credit is not really good, then well, you'll know, at least you knew when you got into a relationship that the man credit or the woman credit wasn't that good. So when you get ready to buy a house and then they turn you down, you'll know, well, you know, I knew this. I love her so much. I love him so much until we just did it. Okay. Sometimes you need to think about community diseases. We're getting ready to end this for today, but I just want to let you something food for thought. You know, there's many community diseases out there that you need to be aware of. You know, you need to know, make sure that this person does not have HIV. This person doesn't have some type of social disease that will cause you to be in jeopardy later. You need to know whether or not, and maybe you do know, but you don't need to ignore. If you find an alcoholic, if a person loves to drink a lot, and especially can't control their drinking, many times these people, when they drink and they're, these are some of the people that goes into rage. They're really kind and nice, seems like, before they start drinking. But, I mean, that can be a problem. So you need to look at, you know, whether this man is an alcoholic, this woman is an alcoholic. Does he or she drink, you know, too much wine or whatever it may be? Or maybe they're, you may have a schizophrenic type person on your hand. or somebody that has a bipolar. Now, we're not coming against these things, but what I'm saying that these things are cause a problem. Anybody can be really kind and good when you're in front of them, but you need to know how this person treats their parents. Are they kind to the mother? Are they considerate? How do they talk to their mother? You know, are they a batter? Have that mother ever been hit by the dad? How does she handle that? Is she in an abusive type of situation? Because things like that sometimes breed the same thing in the marriage. So things of that nature, we need to begin to think. And we don't want to just throw a blanket over, because there's some good men out there. You should be proud to have a good man in your life. There's some good women out there that you should be proud to have them in your life. But we want you to be able to know that person. You know, you never know even when you're living with them, but there are certain things you need to know as entering into a marriage relationship. Do one like to spend a lot of money? The other, you know, they kind of pinch her, and that can be a problem. So many things that we can say today, but we're going to come back on next week, and we're going to follow up, and we're going to get further, I promise you, as to what we're going to be talking about and to bring to conclusion the part of premarital counseling and reasons for premarital guidance and whatnot. And also, we're just going to walk into some areas that's very important. We're going to see, we just want you to take your time, and we want you to walk with us as we go, because eventually we're going to get into marital problems. After you have said, I do. But let's kind of get the premarital counseling, things that you shouldn't be afraid to ask your mate about, because it is so important. Things that couples did not discuss a long time ago, they need to discuss these things. So we're just happy that you joined us again on the Crossroad broadcast. We would like to thank God for Dr. June Normeal. And we want to just to pray before we end this session on today. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to come before this radio audience, men and women, some that's already married, some that's thinking about getting married, some, God, that participate in marriage in the future. So, Lord, we ask thee, God, that you're continually blessing, God, that they will have wisdom, that knowledge, that they have a greater understanding of where they are, what they want to do, how they want to spend the rest of their lives, what the end of the So, I ask thee, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that everyone that's listening to this broadcast, everyone that's going to be listening to the broadcast, God, that you would give them what they need. And God, that they would search the heart of you and search the heart of those that they're anticipating being married to. And God, that they would be guided by you, by your spirit, that they would do the right thing. Lord, we just want to say thank you. And Father, I just want to say, God, because we are Christian counselors, Lord, if there's someone out there that's not saved, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we want you, Lord God, even as your word says, and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, he said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God, you gave the life that we can have a right to the tree of life. So we ask you today, forgive them for their sins, forgive them for their transgression, forgive them, God, for the things that they have done, even if you've forgiven us. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for this time that you have given us on today. Lord, heal those that are sick, have infirmities in their bodies. And God, call them to know that you are healed and deliver us. Father, for this we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary McCoy on the Crossroad Broadcast. Please be with us on next week. May God bless you. It's